All right, y'all already going off. We're recording. We already got started. So this episode is the Joganist versus anti-Joganist. Everyone's welcome to step up, put their opinion. This is a big controversy. And I can see the points from both sides, but I am on one of the sides for sure. So you guys already got it started. What's up, Spina? Welcome. So what's your guys' pitch? I want to hear, well, who wants to go first? Bonk, you want to go first?
Okay, I'll go first. All right, so my viewpoint is that it's going to be anime exclusive, and I believe this because it has not been introduced in the manga explicitly yet. So we can go off the points when everyone just says their position.
Yeah, so from my understanding, chapter one of Boruto, they have an eye for Boruto, but it looks like Byakugan. But when they did it in the anime, they colored the back of it, and I guess they said it's because you wouldn't be able to see it because the eye in the middle is like white, so you wouldn't even be able to see it, so they changed it up. My guess is that as of right now, it's pretty much not in the manga still. Like, it hasn't been said or anything like that. But it's there. And I think that they don't even know what they want to do with it fully just yet, of, like, what its powers are. They're still trying to come up with what they want to do with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Most of my basis comes from them doing a cash grab in the anime, them releasing a new eye, not really adding it to the manga, and using it for publicity's sake. So that's why the first chapter for me is more of a Byakugan kind of idealistic view on it. But of course, you know, that kind of destroys it in the anime. And then, yeah.
Not even gonna lie, like, just going purely off of the manga, just excluding the anime, I mean, to say that this would be the Byakugan would be, like, I would say a nonsensical claim. Because for one, like, Kawaki's already seen, like, Boruto use the Byakugan multiple times. He used it against Code. He's seen Momoshiki have it. So if we go, like, to this time skip here, and then we see that Kawaki's been surprised, it wouldn't really make sense for Kawaki to be surprised about a Byakugan he's seen multiple times. So if he's surprised in this panel, like I'm saying, by the way, discussion, if he's surprised here, this indicates that this is something that, like, he has never seen before, and Byakugan is something he's seen before, so it could have been the Byakugan.
Yeah, that's interesting. The way I view it is more like this is the first time he's seen Boruto use something like that. Because we do know that Himawari has that ability. We know it's been passed down. So this is the first time for Boruto's awakening of it. And then, of course, in combat, we've seen that the Byakugan pretty much reigns supreme when it comes to hand-to-hand, if you're not referring to the Sharingan. But close-range combat, we've seen Neji use it. So I would think that, in my mind, with that viewpoint, that Kawaki was surprised that Boruto was able to activate it at all.
Well, to be fair, whenever Kawaki's seen Boruto with a Byakugan, is because Momoshiki is taking control over him. So, even if he's seen a Byakugan... Well, I'm talking about Boruto with a Byakugan. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but, like the thing I brought up earlier is that when he fought Code, he did have the Byakugan activated on his own.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I didn't actually remember that.
When Code was telling him that, like, how to really tap into that power of the karma, he said, you know why you get stronger, not just faster and all that? It's because of the essence, whatever. And then we call it true essence. I don't know if it's officially because we haven't, you know, gotten too much of that mode. It's literally just either Boruto gets took over or not at all. That's the one time we've seen it for now. But yeah, so they definitely seen Boruto in control. Matter of fact, didn't he tell him, like, I have a better grasp of Momoshiki's power now?
I mean, that's a statement that he made after he got killed and became 100% Osusuki. But he did tell Kawaki to, like, step back because he's about to fight Code. So that just indicates that that's Boruto.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, if he's seen Boruto when he took over by Momoshiki, and what his and all his attributes. And then later he tells literally everybody he has better control over it. He wouldn't be surprised that he had better control over it, meaning if it is the Byakugan, because that's when, you know, chapter one, he wouldn't be like, oh, you got better control? Yeah, I told you that 3 years ago. Minimum, you know? So,
well, to be fair, I feel like basing arguments on the Kawaki surprised expression is going to be hard to prove whether it's Jogan or not Jogan.
Not really.
Well, I'll bring up another point. I'll bring up another point. When he was fighting Boro, for example, we got a manga panel title card of Boruto, one eye's closed, with the Byakugan in the other eye. So this was in my interpretation of what he did in the first chapter. But of course, you know, that kind of gets debunked by the anime. But again, that was just another point that I saw that was pretty interesting for the Byakugan argument.
I would say that my only, like, obviously I'm a journalist, but like, if I were to find like a happy medium and say that that is not a Jogan, then the recent chapter that just came out has told us that there's multiple timelines, and they want to do the anime is one timeline and the manga is the other timeline. I would be completely cool with that. Not gonna lie, I would be completely cool with that. But outside of like that outcome, if that's not what they're going with, then my biggest thing is, let's just say that it's a Byakugan, right? Why is the anime allowed to insert a Jogan on top of a Byakugan and call it a different eye? Isn't that like misdirection?
See, that's what I was stuck on, right? So Bonk just said earlier, it's a cash grab for publicity's sake. If it was really, truly a cash grab and for publicity's sake, you would be seeing that eye every time. In a fight, in any sticky situation, you're seeing his eye. Because if it was really a cash grab, right? The only times, and I have them damn near all memorized, only times is episode one, the first arc, 1 through 15, because he uses it all throughout that. Right. Whenever he's seeing the ghost, that's how we know one of his powers. And the next time is Chunin exams, so it skips like 50 episodes until the next time. Then the next time again is Urushiki, which is another 60 to 50 episodes later.
And Urushiki mentions a Jogan. He literally says Jogan.
Yeah, not even that. But then the next time, after the Urushiki one, when he uses it against him, is all the way at the last episode, 293. So I don't think, if I was really trying to grab Ash and to pump up publicity, I would just be using it every 50 to 60 episodes or so.
Well,
but to your question, though, right, that you said, yeah, why would they be allowed? It's because Kishimoto pulled them.
Let's say it's not canon. Like, isn't that like crazy dedication for them to like push this eye for it to
they
not
aren't pushing
canon?
It. That's the thing, though. If it was there, if
like,
they were pushing
like
it, it's in your face every episode.
They're building hype. No, they're trying to build hype for it.
I don't know. In my head, them doing it for the first, 16 episodes, almost every episode, giving it a whole arc, and then dropping it off the face of the earth, it seems like a publicity stunt. It seems, hey, look at this new eye we got. But yet, there's not a manga arc for it. It hasn't been really talked about in the manga, except for the Chunin Sands and Chapter 1. So in that respect, you know, publicity stunts only work when it first happens, right? When a series is first introduced. So they can't, you know, just shove it down your throat the entire time. So I think them getting into one whole arc about it and then just dropping it off the face of the earth.
Well, it wasn't an arc about that. It was an arc that it was used in.
Well,
it's a difference.
Can it be a publicity stunt and foreshadowing at the same time? Can't it be both?
No, because he seems to think that the first 15 episodes, the first arc of Boruto, is like more centered towards the Jogan than it actually is. The Jogan is literally just there because he needs to see the ghost somehow. And that's it.
Yeah, I guess
that's
true.
That's the only two things that we saw, actually. Him ever seeing a ghost or chakra, whatever, because he calls it ghost. We know it's chakra. And then the second thing he ever did with it in those 15 episodes is look at a portal and punch through it and then go hop dimensions. That's it. So, again, and then also whenever he fought Nue, but that's just Byakugan type shit. Oh, I can see the center point. Know me? But that's about it. It wasn't an arc about that, nor it was centered to be like, oh, we got to... Literally, the only thing you could say is maybe episodes 8 and 9. Because episodes 8 and 9 were literally Boruto and the reader all trying to figure out what this thing is. And then if they... of course, it would have to be a knowledge claim, right, for anybody to explain it to us. You'd have to figure out, why did they know that? And is it even sensible to them, like, that they should know that? So that's why we don't learn about it. But that would be the only part. It's the whole...
what do you think the Jogon's power would be? Like, I think it's Boruto being able to see chakra... more than just with people and objects, but with energy, like, in another, like, dimension. Maybe, like, how Shibai ascended to another dimension. There's, like, chakra energy there that he can tap into or something.
Oh, so that reminds me of the whole reason we know about it, when we knew about it, right? The Jogon. This is why I also don't think it was a... No, I'm talking about in real life. This is why I also don't think it's a cash grab or it's, what'd you say? To hype everybody up or something? I don't remember. But like that, right? Because when those first came out, and this is something that you probably, if you weren't there, you didn't know about it. But if you didn't ask, get invited. Don't ask to go. Nah, but so back then in the first 15 episodes, that entire arc, we kept seeing it. The first time was episode 1, and then episode 1 again later when he was younger. We know, so he's been had this, not just something in the future. Because that's really the hook, right? You were talking about a thing to reel us in, or a thing to catch our eye, the tension. That's the hook. The first flash forward scene, or the only flash forward scene, is the hook. So they don't need to do another thing on top of that. But even if they did, I don't think the joke on his. Because when those episodes were coming out, it was so much like discourse of, oh, is this some new eye? Right? So it worked. What you were saying, oh, let me talk about it, getting more attention around it, more traffic. But then the only way we knew about it being the joke on, or the first time we knew about it being the Jogon, wasn't even from the anime. An animator that worked on one of those scenes of the episodes that the Jogon was in, the first 15, of course, literally told us in a blog post that I think since has been deleted, maybe? We could find archives of it because it's on the internet. But he said, it's the Jogon. I've read a little bit of the script, but not everything has been told to me yet. So for now, it's called the Jogon, meaning pure eye, translated, and then also that it can sense negative energy or negative emotions. I mean, just like how Naruto can whenever he uses regular Toad Sage Mode. And then he says that that's all he knows for now. So, and that makes sense because it's the first 15 episodes, you know? That's the only things that he did with it.
Right. Let me get your opinion on this then. When we get Tonari and that kind of scene when Boruto is dreaming and he gets to go to the moon or whatever, and then they edge us and then they kill off Tonari, who was supposed to train him in this kind of art. I mean, he's got frozen and he can't.
Separated from the plot, yeah.
Right. Isn't that kind of like edging the audience, giving us something like, oh, we're about to get something in this eye, and then all of a sudden he's removed?
Well, not really, because he'd been told this, right, Toneri, and this is why you gotta actually watch everything, because some people didn't even know this scene happened, but in one of these scenes of Boruto episodes, Toneri just, this is the first thing we see, so the episode starts, and it's, boom, Toneri, right? And it's him in the stars. I think it's episode... Ooh, I don't want to misquote. But I'm maybe 53, maybe 30-something, maybe 34. I think it's 34. Either way, it doesn't matter. In one of these episodes, he's dancing. Not really dancing, but it looks like his person is moving and shit, you know, like swan-like. But and then he says that the Gyogun's time isn't for a little while, or for a while, depending on translation. So he's been telling us, with the edging, that it won't be soon. So, why do you have to use edging?
I didn't know a better word.
Yeah, I couldn't think of another one. What's another one? Putting us on the seat of our...
Yeah.
lip of our seat? I don't know. But yeah. What's it called? And that was one of the episodes, so... Of course they're not going to tell us. They outright tell us, you're not going to see this shit for a while.
Yeah,
but it will come. Pause.
True. And
my thing...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was about to say, my thing is, like... And this is... should be a question for both sides of the argument. Like, for the anti-Jogginess and, like, the Jogginess is, like... What do we think the plan is for... this eye, like, let's just say it was a publicity stunt. There still has to be, like, an end goal for that, you know? Just kind of taking it away afterwards, it's just going to leave people frustrated, especially since it's, like, in the first episode, you know? Like, is it building up to, like, a movie or something? You know, what is it building up to? But then also on the Jonas side, like, yes, we feel that's canon, but like, what do we think is building up to? Like, what is the goal for this?
I have an answer already.
I mean,
universe too. It's not even.
Hold on. I think it's a very spiritual thing, and it's going to take things on a spiritual level, super spiritual. That's where I think it's going to go.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. With the whole Otsutsuki overlord who ascended from his body, I think you definitely have a good point there with that.
You want to answer or I answer first?
You can go ahead.
I think the end goal is.
Do we want the anti to answer or the the
Jogginess?
The
Jogginess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Alright. So, I actually have an in-universe reason. So, it's not even a guess. It's not an educated guess. It's in-universe. So, it's somewhat, but it's not that much as probably the other side would. But, so in episode 8, this is, I know for a fact, episode 8, right? Episode 8, Boruto, you return the dream sequence with Toneri, episode 8. Right after that, right, when he looks and sees, oh my god, it's really an eye. Then the next thing, because it cuts away, you know how it is with really any TV show. They have a plot line A and plot line B, and they flip-flop between. Most of the time, it's the main character or the protagonist and maybe the other side or a side character. But when we cut back to Boruto, Boruto has the Kagemasa glasses on. He sat real, you know, classy on a chair, and he's saying all this nonsense. What they think, the characters think, is nonsense. It's just, he's not making no sense. He's just acting weird. That's what Himawari and Hinata say about it, right? She's, oh, Boruto's been acting weird. But Boruto, if you pay attention to what he's saying, that's his end goal right there. Or that's the end goal that the writers are going to want us to hear about. Because clearly they're going to make Boruto say, if they wanted to make him say whatever, he'll say whatever. But if they wanted to say these lines, then it has to have some reasoning, right? And the lines go as, Boruto is going to talk to this goddess of destiny, whoever that is, right? I think we already know who that is, but goddess of destiny, and then he'll have to ask for forgiveness from her for taking away some divine protection that she has. And then he also says that he's gonna do it in a flash or whatever, right? So why do I think that right there is the angle? Well, because if we go and try to figure out who that is in each of these quotes, the goddess of destiny is clearly Ada. Literally rewriting reality, rewriting history with omnipotence. She can control, you know, anybody's destiny, really, if she wanted to, if she was real Osuski, but for now, it's just subconscious desire. So if she's the goddess of destiny, and then he has to ask for forgiveness from her, why would he do that, right? Because if anything, she should be apologizing to him for what she did to him, which she already has, and he's accepted it. He's like, oh, you good, I know you ain't mean to do it. He didn't say that exactly, but I know you ain't mean to do it, I'll deal with Kawaki later, right? And then, not just that, but remember what Damon was saying around that chapter 80, the last chapter of Boruto Naruto Next Generation? He was saying, praying real hard to, for you to come back and fight me at full strength for the first time in my life, which is crazy. But what that I'm alluding to is that he is the divine protection that Boruto quoted himself saying that he'll have to take away that from whoever the goddess of destiny is. So if they're really setting up this fight, and then he said previously in episode 8, all the way back there, we ain't even at chapter 80 yet, right? That he's gonna have to ask for forgiveness for something that he did, and that something that he did is take away whatever divine protection the goddess of destiny has. And then we look at what Damon does. He doesn't care about nothing but protecting his sister. He always be, you know, around her. The only way to get to her is through him. Know what I mean? So then, right, that would make sense why Boruto would have to say forgive me. Because whatever he does to whoever the divine or whatever the divine protection is. Because it could also be Kawaki, but I don't think so, because Kawaki doesn't care too much for what happens to Ada. If it ain't Naruto, he don't care. But, yeah, so then, the next thing is that he'll do it in a flash, right? So the method of him taking away the divine protection from the goddess of destiny, I was about to say Ada, is in a flash. What could that mean? Well, who else has ever said in a flash? Minato, right? Minato, the yellow flash, teleporting, all that, right? And then I'm thinking, okay, well, now that we know Boruto actually knows a variation, because it's not the same one that Minato has, but a variation of Flying Thunder God, and that he also has the Jokon means of teleportation, or even the Karma means of teleportation, right? So there's three different ways of him doing the in a flash move. But I'm thinking it's the Jogon, because in that same arc, right, episode 8 is part of the first 15 episodes, but in that same arc, episode, what was it, 13 or 14? Pretty sure it was 13. I don't know. But, or maybe 14, because it was, no, it was 13, at the end of 13, because that was the cliffhanger. So at the end of 13, he just tries to stop Sumire and Mitsuki from fighting, because Mitsuki has newfound orders from Orochimaru that he has to go on alive Sumire for whatever purpose. Right? And then, of course, Boruto being Naruto's son and also being his own person, he says, nah, I'm about to save both sons, right? And then he gets held back by Mitsuki's snake clone, finally gets out, and he has to go meet, right, where the two people are, and they're about to stand off. And he does the same thing that Sakura was trying to do whenever Naruto and Sasuke were gonna fight at the top of the rooftop at the hospital with the water tower. And then, in this case, for Boruto, he actually stops them. Nobody comes in between like Kakashi did. But he stops them. Boom. Jogon is activated. Right? And then literally out of the eye, lightning starts to pour out, and then a flash over the screen comes out. And then what happens? New Wave teleports away. Whether that being Boruto doing that or new, you know, whatever, doesn't matter because it's still a flash sequence. And then it just so happens that Nue is separated from where Sumire is, and Nue literally has a comeback eater, or we thought eater, whenever the episode came out. Like, oh my gosh, she died already? But no, clearly, the next episode she was safe. So, I'm saying all that to say that that is what's going to happen most likely. And I will just say that because, oh, that's what is said in the anime. Because, if y'all didn't know, which I think everybody knows already, but the episodes 8 and 9, which are the episodes that were the part where Boruto was saying that, that he'll take away divine protection from this goddess of destiny in a flash, right? Those two episodes, it was in episode 8, but those two episodes were directly influenced by Kishimoto. Not Ikimoto, not Kodachi, Kishimoto came down, talked with the anime people about the episodes, those two, and said, let's do some more here, let's do some more there, and essentially split up that one, would have been one episode, into two different episodes. One episode being episode 8, where they had all what happened in episode 8, and by the end of that, they go to the House of Hyuga, or the Hyuga House, whatever they call it. And then episode 9 being him testing it out, and he couldn't do it, right? He couldn't activate it out.
You think
at will?
You think Boruto getting rid of Damon will let him get a wish, a divine wish, with Ada's omnipotence, and reverse things back with between Boruto and Kawaki, and then maybe that's when Kawaki goes crazy?
Maybe, you know, you never know, but I definitely think that that's what he'll try to do, because as we know, he keeps trying to do something and it ain't working. That's probably what that flash forward sequence is alluding to, that he tried everything and now this is the only way. Whatever the outcome is, that's the only way. But episodes 8 and 9 were directly, and this is backed up by the people that worked on that episode, Kishimoto, that Kishimoto was literally working with them. Matter of fact, the guy who did the novelization of that, because if y'all didn't know, those first around 50 episodes, they were novels. They were novels that were released not even at the same time, because if you release the novel on the first episode of one arc, then you know the entire arc. So they had to wait a little bit. But those episodes were released, I mean, those books and novels were released with the episodes at the around the same time as the episodes of them. So we have the guy who was writing the novelization of it literally getting excited, as he said, about Kishimoto telling him to write some more shit about it. So even without the recent interview, Kishimoto has always been involved with the story, and it just so happens that if of all the episodes that we know he was involved in, it's 8 and 9, the episode with Toneri talking to Boruto about the Jogon, and then 9, him trying to test the Jogon. Come on now. It's just a foregone conclusion. Kishimoto clearly has a plan for it. And not just that, but
the recent interview in France, they literally were asked about it, and he said there was a special eye, you know, but he didn't spoil it.
Yeah, but even without that, this is before that.
Yeah, it's been there.
They literally had the guys writing the anime version and the book version of that sequence, 1 through 15, talking to Kishimoto about it, and Kishimoto telling him about that, what to write. We don't know exactly what, because again, why would they care to tell us? But we know that he definitely was. And then, right, not just that, but that's one of the only ones that we've ever heard of him literally being involved with the anime versions of events. Only other time that we know as conclusively as that one was 67, 68, and 69, which is Chocho arc. That has nothing to do with Jogan. Jogan was never there, so doesn't matter. But yeah. Well, so Kishimoto has always been. Uh-huh.
So going back to the novels and those being written, how do we, how can we accept one novel as, you know, in the anime being more relevant than, like, say, the Sarada novel and that whole Shin
talking
on stuff? That was a novel, or at least they were in what?
They're in the same timeline.
Right.
So they published the timeline of it.
So then my question is, since that stuff seems irrelevant with Shin and all of the Sharingan business and hasn't come back up yet, how can we say that the other part of the novel is more relevant?
Well, because again, Kishimoto, and remember, the Sarada stuff, the novel and that, that's just a short story. He did that before Boruto was even a thing. Like, Boruto was involved, but that's why Boruto wasn't as involved. Because it was really just a Sarada character thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then, but after that, because that was probably, what, before 2017?
Yeah, it was like a year before.
Yeah, so after that, Kishimoto then again wants to reapply himself into the anime process. So that's why. But even without that, then that book version of the Shin Uchiha arc or the Sarada, Scarlet Spring, and the Seventh Hokage novel gets put in the anime. So it don't matter. They still publish that part.
Okay.
Well, I feel like we're straying a bit from the point, from the question. I want to hear the anti-dragonist perspective.
I gotcha. So my alphabet is, I do believe that it will be integrated eventually, but the argument that I'm trying to follow is more of it just being remaining anime only, which of course doesn't really make sense, but at least in this kind of timeline that we have right now. So to answer your question, it would be, I do believe it's going to be in the manga eventually. So that's going to be the end goal there. I don't think it will forever remain anime only, although that's the argument I am trying to make.
So your argument is, as of right now, it's anime only, and it's not canon until it's, like, official in the manga.
Until we get some sort of... I would say that.
See, now that only works if it's the more probable option, right? Your reasoning, line of reasoning is probabilistic, right? So,
yes.
If we're going off probability, our line of reasoning is just far better.
Yes. Yeah, so
like, a higher percentage, you know?
Yes.
I understand, like, literally, I understand from both sides, because we, like, okay, if I were to make an argument as far as, like, if it being canon is, like, there are some shows where they foreshadow powers, abilities, or the end in the very first episode, like Attack on Titan, for example. Foreshadowed at the very end, in the very first episode. And I understand that fans, they want to see what's going on with the eye right now. But, like, this is, like, a situation where it's, I personally, is foreshadowing, and fans, they just want that instant, what's the word I'm looking for?
Gratification?
Yeah.
Satisfaction?
Yeah, they want it now, and I feel like there's nothing wrong with that eye being hidden all the way up until, like, even the final arc, because that's what foreshadowing is. It's just it's okay to be frustrated, you know. It's okay to be frustrated that we're not seeing it yet.
On the
flip
side,
like, as
that,
a writer,
right. On the flip side of instant satisfaction or instant gratification, that's also the reason why we know it's gonna be real, because. Oh, okay, they want us to delay our satisfaction to that part. Well, delay it then, but we know it's real. You know what I mean?
Like, well, okay, I don't want to talk about Attack on Titan. It's not a Attack on Titan podcast. But I just feel that it's okay for a writer to foreshadow something if for us to have to wait for it.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that.
The Jogan, as of right now, like, why do we want to prove that it's canon or non-canon? Why do we care? That's my question.
Wrote it in.
Why do we care?
Well, that's a bit of life.
No, about it.
And then just another thing that completely blows up the whole anti-Jugendist argument that I had to think about was, you know, the image of the omnipotent Otsutsi god that we've seen, the eyes that he had, very similar to what we saw in the first chapter. So again, that would be another thing that completely blows up my argument.
Oh, and so look, right? Because I remember when this panel was animated of that same that you're talking about.
Right.
So I know that people were trying to use that saying, ha, see, it's not the Drogon. It wasn't drawn how the Drogon looks. It was stone. It was like a stone type of texture and stuff.
Right.
But then, literally a couple hours later after the episode that came out, the person responsible for that scene literally said, oh, I just didn't have time to finish it, so I put it at stone. And then everybody was like, oh, okay, well, there you go.
Right.
So people bring up that scene, but the anime, to try to say it's not real, because it would have been, but he didn't have time. The deadline,
yeah.
You know how anime is. They gotta do it. It's out, it's out.
So then my question,
so,
didn't they skip that in the anime? That scene that was in the manga of that panel? They didn't?
Nah, that's what I'm saying. I know the panel, because people were trying to say that the anime version confirmed it's not, when it's the opposite.
Yeah, okay,
The literal only reason that it wasn't drawn like the Dogon was in the anime is because he didn't have time.
That's wild.
You know? But that was also around, like, code art, so that meant a lot of code art people didn't have time. But, yeah.
By the way, like, that question about that Jogan question for that happened recently for the Kishimoto and Ikimoto interview, did that, like, actually happen? Is that an official thing that happened, or is it fake? Because, like, I've heard it around. But I've only heard some people bring it up, and other people has been quiet about it. Like, is it fake? Is it legit?
They're only waiting because of the translation, right? The translation it came from is also one that was mistranslated in some areas, so that's why people aren't trying to talk about it, because they're waiting until it's officially translated or a better translation with less, you know, mistakes in it. But yeah, that's a real thing. They definitely talked about it. You know.
Yeah. So, did we hit all the points? Is there anything else we want to talk about for the Jogan? I think we hit everything.
Yeah, I have no more arguments.
Make sure. Yeah, we got Teneri and all that. So, for everyone that's listening, if you have any inputs, you can comment on the website, or you can join the Discord, or I think you can even comment on Spotify. So thanks for listening.
There was one comment, I'll stop you real quick, just because Y had said it in the Discord. He had talked about my argument with Boro, but he goes on to say that they don't think that they would make a different looking eye like that for it not to be canon. So to support, I believe, Jugendist is what he has in here.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Oh, that was another one, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I didn't even think about that one.
A lot of hints in the anime.
I knew about it.
So
episode 65, when Boruto beats Momoshiki, it happens two different ways in the anime and in the manga. So in the manga, and I already know why the differences are there, but in the manga, it was Momoshiki telling him, oh, you have the eye, or you have the blood of the Byakugan in you. Talking about, you know, Hinata's genetic, you know,
right, yeah,
correlation at Boruto. But then in the anime, he said, oh, you have the power of Otsutsuki in you, right?
Mm.
It was because Boruto's eye had awakened, his Jogan. And it looked like how we know the Jogan, black glare with the white pupil, or bluish hue pupil, right?
Bluish white.
Not that is. That, again, is just because of the timeline, the order of events in real life. The episode 65, that's in 2018. Manga, that episode, I mean, that version of the scene is 2017 still. So within that year, right? That or not 2017, 2016, I think. I'm pretty sure. And then within that year, Kishimoto, most likely, because we know he later does, decided, oh, let's go more in on this. Because he does with episode 8 and with episode, you know, all the other episodes that he works on. But
so you're saying there's a timeline difference? Because that was one of the arguments I was making earlier. Was
no, not literal timeline, not literal, as the Boruto sense with, you know, Hachi and Koji looking at multiple different... I'm talking about in real life, the sequence of events. It just so happened that they did that before. Because remember, the manga version isn't even the original version of the series or the sequence of events of that. The originator, the thing that started it all, is 2015 Boruto movie. Right. That was the original version of the scenes. So, and it, even then, before that, he was working on Boruto, obviously, before 2018, because the movie. The earliest sign, and this is backed up with evidence as proof, is 2014. It's in 2014, Boruto, the character in the series, was conceptualized, of course, at the very beginning. Not everything was thought out through all the way. But if we are bringing up that interview, forget that question, even before that, right? Oh, echo. Even before that, Kishimoto, when he was talking about essentially the roles of both Kishimoto and Ikimoto as it pertains to the manga, Kishimoto said, oh yeah, Ben wrote the story. I've already gotten to the end yet. So he wrote all the story, everything that's supposed to happen already, and then they're going in and doing more changes. They're talking it amongst him and Ikimoto. So that also shows to me that at least in the year 2024, the series is already over, right? So, not literally, but you know what I mean. It's like there's a couple changes left. And one of those changes we know could possibly be the eye design of chapter one, episode one, flash forward sequence. Because Ikimoto, in a previous interview than this year's, way back, he said it's subject to change for the character designs of both Kawaki and of both Boruto, which is why he doesn't have the same clothes, which is also why Kawaki
do look different.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's clearly up to change. And then y'all brought up, or one of y'all brought up that the it would look bad because of black on black, right? That's also why. Because with the manga, you can't really draw color, or you can't really put color in it unless you want to do a color spread. And just so happens that the Jogon picture, or the picture that we think is the Jogon, well, we know, but chapter one, flash forward sequence, isn't in color, which is why if they're going to do a black sclera, meaning the outside of the eye, and then the white pupil, they can't also then do the outline of the eye in black. They would have to be white, just like how they do Sasuke's hair or even Sasuke's clothing. They have, instead of white lines for the outline of the particular items of clothing, it's black, you know. So what's it called? Then not just the outline of the eye, but then you also have to have what? The karma. And that is also black or gray. So you can't do black on black on black with white in the middle. Because then it would just look like the entire thing is black. You'd have to break it up. Which is why, to make it easy, just put white in the sclera instead of black. And in the anime version, put black.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know? That's another thing that they brought up with why it looks different in the anime, but it's definitely the same thing, you know?
Yeah. So, I think we caught all the points. So everyone who's listening, check out the YouTube, join the Discord if you want to be part of future episodes, and thanks for coming, everyone. Appreciate it.